how do I discern the issue of location in church planting?
Where are you opening doors? Where should we go?
The need is very, very great.
There are going to be certain individuals that will connect really well in an urban subculture.
He uses physical and natural factors to help us sense where he's leading us and directing us. Welcome to the Lutheran Church Planter, a podcast exploring the theology, philosophy, and practice of planting new Lutheran congregations. I'm your host, Andy Coyle, director and church planter for the AFLC Home Missions Department, joined by my co-host, Matthew Ballman, a church planter down in San Antonio, Texas. This is season two. We've gone through a couple episodes already as we're looking at our series on the blueprints of starting congregations, the goal to be practical, to be very helpful for groups, for churches, for planters. And today we're going to be diving into the issue of location. How do we know where to plant? So God's called you to plant. You just sort of sense, you know, that this is something that he's opening the door to. And the question is, well, where then? What do I do? How do I assess that? How do I discern the issue of location in church planting? So we want to kind of talk about that today. And as we do, just, you know, maybe at the outset here, just understand that we are workshopping this together. This is such an interesting process, and God uses all kinds of things in our lives to open doors, close doors, and help people understand what he is leading them into. And so we understand that this is not a super scientific process, that we want to seek God's direction, God's guidance in all these aspects. But in our discussions, in our planning, we kind of narrow down to five aspects that God uses to help us discern locations. And this is not chronological. These are all parts that he uses in this process. And so we're just going to go through these five aspects today in determining location, and hopefully this will be helpful for you. So Matt, why don't you start us off here? Just give us one of those five aspects.
Yeah, often I think the first thing we should ask the question is like the need question. Mm-hmm. So what does the need look like in the area that we're considering? And you know, this is, again, one of those where it gets kind of tricky, because if you say, well, I'm going to go to where there's the greatest need, well, that would take you overseas to an unreached people group. And praise God, like, we need missionaries doing that. Mm-hmm. So talk to the AFLC World Missions Department if that is where God is calling you. But if you're doing domestic church planning in the U.S., you know, we still want to ask that question. And one of the ways that we can begin to kind of think about that is by how many faithful congregations are there in an area that we are looking to plant. So say you're a church in a town of, say, 300,000 or 400,000 people, or you know, smaller than that. You are looking at a couple towns around you. You might ask the question, well, are there faithful, Christ-centered, gospel-proclaiming, you know, scripturally bound congregations in these cities? And if so, which there probably are, hopefully, by God's grace, how many are there? You know, maybe one city has 10 churches like that, and another one has two like that. And that need will possibly be the thing that God uses to guide and direct you then to go plant a church. Because what we don't want to do, we don't want to go into a town, you know, that has already 100 really faithful churches, and then go try to plant a church, you know, right next to that. That would be not using the resources of the kingdom responsibly or wisely, because we're all trying to reach people. We're all on the same team, ultimately, right? We're on God's team. So that need question can be the first question that one asks when they're looking at the area or the location that they're thinking about. What would you add to that?
Yeah, and even that, I mean, it's a tricky issue to talk about, because you even look in a big city, like, say, you know, well, obviously you're in a huge area in San Antonio, but even in Rapid City, you know, there's a lot of churches here, but most likely a lot of them are going to be closing in the next 10 years, whether they've compromised or different issues. And so really there's a lot of need even in areas that have a lot of churches. And so you qualified it earlier with, you know, gospel centered, you know, Bible believing and those types of aspects. But the reality is, as you look around our country right now, we have a ton of good churches. And yet, even with that, you still have what, 11, 12, 13, 14% of the population that is actively involved in a solid church. And so the need is very, very great anywhere.
Yeah.
Frankly.
Yeah.
And so as we talked about earlier, this is just one of those components. It's not the only component that God helps us to see. And so it is helpful for us. You know, there are a lot of different types of demographic studies you can find, and they're interesting. They can kind of shape the population, What are the percentage that go to church or different religions maybe, or non-religious? And those do help us, but we kind of get a general sense when we're in an area of like, okay, we can just sort of feel it. And I see it even in out here, it's like there's a certain darkness with just the different cultural aspects. Mm. And so the need is beyond just what we see with the numbers of churches. It's also, what are the other cultural things that shape this culture? Is it a dark culture? Is it an oppressive culture? There's a lot of aspects that go into this. That helps us see, okay, these are the church, these are unchurched. It might be a whole area where you have a bunch of churches that are under-churching people, whether they're maybe just full mainline progressive, they aren't teaching Christ, they aren't teaching the gospel. Well, that's a great opportunity. That's a great need too. And so you can see with this issue of need that it's really nuanced, it's highly contextual, and yet it's still something that God invites us to see. Are we using our resources? I think what you said there about that is really, really important.
Yeah. Two other thoughts that kind of came to mind as we're kind of workshopping this as we talk through these, is one, I think a really helpful, like you said, you can feel it. And I think some places, like that's true, like Rapid City, people will say that about just certain cities, like, there's a real oppression here. But I think you can also get boots on the ground and talk to local pastors and local ministry leaders.
Right.
I think that's really, really important when you're considering an area. We'll talk about models of church planning down the road, but if you're thinking about like a Parachute or, a different town that you're not familiar with, you need to talk to ministry leaders, Christians in that area. Mm-hmm. And that's also going to be laying the groundwork for future partnership as well. That you're not just coming in there, like not doing reconnaissance before you get in there. And so talking to them, that's kind of a key thing in my mind. But maybe a second thought as you were talking is also recognizing like our unique, we have to be really clear and honest and have integrity with who we are as an AFLC, right? We're Lutheran churches. So we're going to plant Lutheran churches. So you can have congregations that are, again, gospel-centered, scriptural, proclaiming Christ, in a very faithful way, but they're not Lutheran. They're not our conviction of what scripture teaches, of how God has designed the church to be sacramental. And that also is kind of a component of need. We're not talking about just like absolute desperation of no Christian witness. We're also talking about God is going to use different churches to reach different people. That's how he works. And I think it's a beautiful thing. So to recognize even like, and we'll probably talk about this a little bit later, but our peculiar expression, whether it's giftings or theology, like that's also going to guide and direct where we go as well. So that was just another kind of thought that came to mind as you were talking about that.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's the first aspect, need. The second aspect that we want to be aware of is just gifting. Mm-hmm. And maybe we're talking specific to planters right now, but there's a sense in which God builds people for certain areas. And there's a cultural alignment that we are seeking to promote and pursue. And it's just the reality that there are certain pastors that are built better for certain areas. Mm-hmm. Whether they grew up there or whether they're just gifted in that way, but you put a person that is really gifted at reaching Cowboy America, for example, well, most likely he's probably not going to be the guy that we send to the Hispanic culture in Minneapolis, for example, or vice versa. So I think it's just one of those kind of common sense ideas of gifting, of familiarity, of upbringing. Matt, why don't you, and you've talked about this a lot with me over the years, just with Texas. Like what was it about Texas that, and how you are gifted and wired that there's alignment there?
Yeah. So all these things are very practical. When we were discerning and praying through location and planting Trinity here in San Antonio, this was not like our first pick necessarily. We were very open, like, Lord, where are you opening doors? Where should we go? Talking to people, looking at need. And part of that was gifting, familiarity. So we had looked at places like New York City and Portland and Vancouver. So we were looking at all these like, growing cities where there's a need, increasing secularity. Like that first question was the big one in our mind was need. But then the second one was, okay, is there a place that with that in mind, all things being equal need-wise, that will be more natural for us to bridge into that culture? And God can use like, think about foreign missionaries is they, you were over in Odessa, you didn't know anything about, you weren't Russian, but God used you, right? So this is again, that tension, we're recognizing like God can work through anybody in any situation.
Yep.
But when it comes to like, when you're discerning, this is a good question of, well, could I bridge into this culture? So for me, I grew up in Texas. I'm familiar with this culture. I knew this culture, in assessing how to relate and connect to people in this culture. So that was, that became one of the factors that led us to begin thinking about, like, well, maybe let's look at some of the big cities in Texas. And, you know, is there a need in that area? And if so, is there one of those that we could especially maybe connect into? So that was definitely part of our story and mm-hmm. how we came down here.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that too. You know, with some of the books that we read and learn, obviously there's a lot of church planting literature out there. And, you know, you reference the idea that God can use anybody anywhere. And he does, and he has, and he'll continue to do that. And yet there is a certain wisdom that comes from just observing what has taken place. And so you see a lot within the church planting literature, just best practices, you know, what is a wise thing to do? And this is one of those areas where people have talked about, you know, where you had just a super gifted planter and you had the right strategy, but it didn't work because it was in the wrong location. Mm-hmm. And the location really does matter. Mm-hmm. And some of those aspects are related to those cultural giftings or alignments or aspects. And so it is something that it can't be the only thing, but in this process of sort of discerning, okay, has God called me to this place? Is there an alignment there? Is there a familiarity? Is there a natural onboarding that's already taken place, or a lot of those factors? And so that's something that is important for us to talk about. Anything else you want to add
I think
the aspect of gifting?
Well, with that is, we're not just talking about like, oh, are you a good preacher, right? Well, that's not where we're
right. That's exactly right. Yeah.
So it could even be things like some people like, Eugene Peterson, I was just reading a book of his last night, and I was on a run and listening to this book, mm-hmm. and he talked about like, you know, we think we have control over all these factors in our life, when in fact, we have very little control, like where we're born, mm-hmm. when we're born, what family we're mm-hmm. born into, our IQ, our intelligence. Like he's like, we just do the best with what God has given to us. Like we can, we can learn more, but so much of it is just a given thing. Like, God, here's what you've given to me. How do I use this faithfully? And to be mm-hmm. really honest about that and not feel bad about that or arrogant right. about that, but to recognize like, there are going to be certain like individuals, pastors or teams that will connect really well in a really sophisticated, urban, kind of highbrow culture, subculture mm-hmm. in a city. Mm-hmm. And then there are mm-hmm. others that are going to be, no, man, they're the blue collar. They're going to be really good with that demographic. And okay. That's a beautiful thing. Like that's the diversity of the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. But we need to have enough self-awareness. And this is why we talk a lot about assessments, right, as part of that. To know who mm-hmm. you are as an individual, but then also like, what's the DNA of your church going to be? We'll talk more about that in future podcasts. Yeah. To know where we're going to fit. Mm-hmm. So again, gifting being not just as like, oh, are you, you know, where do you rate as a preacher? But literally, it could be something as simple as like, well, what type of culture do you come from? Do you grow up in? Do you best relate to? Mm-hmm. Likely, that is going to be the man that was healed of many demons, right? That Jesus came and he was hiding out in the tombs and cutting himself, and Jesus cast out the demons. He says, I want to follow you. And, you know, this is maybe when we've really experienced the grace and the power of God. That's the question most of us respond. God, I'm going to go anywhere. Just tell me where to go. Mm-hmm. And I love what Jesus said. He said, go back to your friends and family, right? And that mm-hmm. often is going to be the place that you best connect is your friends and your family, that culture that you know well. So I think that's the starting place we should start with. Unless the Lord makes it abundantly clear,
right,
we're going to mm-hmm. be going someplace else. So,
yep. And that's the key right there. It's like all these are just aspects, and if the Lord makes something else abundantly clear, then we do that. But if we have to walk through this process, these are just aspects that we think about. The third one is I would say a very objective and practical one too, and that's related to connections. Are there places that you have connections to already? Not differentiating from the previous idea of kind of cultural alignment, but this one is, you have friends there. Sometime in the AFLC, sometimes we talk about, well, how many former Bible college students are in the area, or people that have left one church that have moved to another location. Just like this very relational connections. Do we have anything, or are we starting from scratch? And maybe God would use that to help direct a decision on a location. Oh, there's 10 people there that we know have gone through Bible college, or there are 10 people that have gone from other solid churches that we have connections to. That's a significant thing because you want to start with a team. And if there's already kind of seeds of that team in place already, well, man, God might be using that to help direct you.
Yeah. Yeah. I've told the story probably, I don't know, on the podcast or not, but that was, again, was one of the factors that God used was, I had never actually been to San Antonio. I grew up in North Texas, but I reached out to an old coworker, and I didn't really know him very well. And I emailed him, Facebooked him out of the blue, like, hey, we're praying about places to plant a church. And, you know, God has called us into planting. We're just trying to figure out where. And, and I said, you know, just, could you tell me a little bit about the area and like the need? And do you think there, you know, is a need? And it was just kind of like, I don't know, fishing in the dark in some ways. And he responded back and said, yeah, interesting. My brother just like 2 weeks ago was talking to me about wanting to be part of a Lutheran church plant in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what? So we got connected. I connected to his brother and ended up nurturing that relationship over like 2 years before we actually moved down. And they were like our founding like couple of our church, still with us today, just faithfully serving leaders in our church. So beautiful. Mm-hmm. But that was like, that was a big encouragement, was that that connection. That was like God brought it together. Mm-hmm. Had we not had that connection, like that, okay, that would have been a rough thing. But God produced, gave us that. He opened the door for that. And I think in large part, like we're here because of that relationship and that partnership in ministry. So you can't overestimate like that one couple, that one person who says, yes, I want to be part. I want to join in what God is doing in this work.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really cool. That's really cool. Fourth aspect is, I'd say, a very supernatural type of an aspect. And this is just the idea of, is God opening a door? And maybe that's hard to kind of pin down, but you see that all throughout the New Testament. In fact, in the New Testament, it's kind of one of the ways that Paul talks about missions. Got a few verses from you. For you, Colossians 4, he says, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the ministry of Christ. Or 1 Corinthians 16, I say in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened for me. There's numerous examples of Paul referring to an open door. And how do you define that? Well, it's a little bit subjective, is it not? Whether it's just sort of a sense, or whether it's like a burning or a desire, what does that look like? Does that mean sometimes an open door is experiential? You've gone to a certain place and you just sense like you can't stop thinking about it. I mean, it's fairly subjective, and yet God does call us and open wide open doors to his people. And he uses a lot of other factors to help direct that too. But again, it's really a fascinating situation in which God opens doors for his people. What do you have to add to that?
Well, yeah, and I think and closes doors. Like I just preached a couple weeks ago on Acts 16, and it, you know, really Paul and Silas, their second missionary journey, they're headed out and God closes the door twice on them. And it's really just kind of beautiful Trinitarian, because it first says like that's the Spirit of God, I think it is, closed the door. And then it was like the Spirit of then it was like the Lord Jesus closed the door. And then it finally says like the Father like opens this door. God the Father, something like that. But the point there is like, it's not just through the opening of doors, but it's through the closing of doors. And I think that's actually there's something significant to that, because often we have millions of doors we could walk through, like tons of doors that are open. And what stands out to me in that passage was Paul and Silas are, all they're trying to do is be faithful, right? They're trying to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who have not heard, and God shuts the door. Right. And again, we don't know. Scholars kind of reflect on, some say, oh, it was health issues, or it was they ran out of finances, or we're not sure. It's all speculation. The point was something happened there. And then God opens this door where Paul has this vision, this dream of the Macedonian call. And he sees this man. We don't know how he's from Macedonia, something he wore, his accent, who knows? But this guy says, hey, come and, you know, bless us. Come and share the good news. And Paul wakes up from this and says that they supposed that the Lord was opening a door for them. So there was this real like humility, which I really appreciated. Sometimes today, I think we can have sometimes Christians can have this like over arrogance of absolutely, this is what God has told me to do, as opposed to this humility of like, oh, man, this seems to be that this is where God is leading us. And we're going to be faithful in that until he directs us otherwise. Yeah. And I think that's so, what's beautiful about that is it's putting God in the steering wheel. Like he's the one driving. We're along for the ride, as opposed to us having our own ideas and our own vision of saying, we're going to make this happen no matter what. It's allowing God to do that opening and closing of doors. And again, objectivity, yes. But that's something worth discerning through with, again, those people that we're ministering with. Does this seem to be something God is opening the door for, or are we running into barriers? And what could that possibly mean? You know, because it might not mean God's not calling us to this place. It might mean maybe we need to change our approach. Maybe we need to change our methods, right? That's a possibility as well.
Yeah. There's a quote here from John Stott, who's kind of a famous English preacher, theologian, talking specifically about this issue. And I just want to read it because I think it captures a little bit of what you were saying there too. And this whole thing it says, Christ has the keys and he opens the doors. Then let us not barge our way unceremoniously through doors which are still closed. We must wait for him to make openings for us. Damage is continually being done to the cause of Christ by rude or blatant testimony. It is indeed right to seek to win for Christ our friends and relatives at home and at work, but we are sometimes in a greater hurry than God is. Be patient, pray hard, love much, and wait expectantly for the opportunity. The same applies to our future. More mistakes are probably made by speed than by sloth, by impatience than by deleteriousness. That's a new word. God's purposes often ripen slowly, and if the door is shut, don't put your shoulder to it. Wait till Christ takes out the key and opens it up. I thought that was just beautiful.
That's really good.
And just kind of speaking to our desire to just push ahead. And there's that humility of just saying, all right, Lord, direct us. Well, open the doors.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, before, just a second here, everything else we've been talking about, you know, whether it's like the need or a team and all that aspect connections, I think God uses that in helping us to see, okay, is this a closed door or an open door? There's a lot of factors that go into sensing if something is open or shut.
Absolutely. And it seems like we talked about on some earlier episodes about time, right? Not rushing something. And this is one of those factors is giving it time, because that rushing often can be, we get this idea and just want to burst through the doors and make it happen right away. And sometimes, you know, discernment can take time in that. So yeah, that's really, that's so true. Well, and maybe one other thing is interesting, and this is, we often will, in this conversation, talk about burden. Do you have a specific burden for specific people? I think that can be a really helpful one as well. That's not on our list, but that can be a really helpful one as well. It's like, do you just have a burning burden for this people group or this area?
Right.
Where that's, right, not, it can't be the whole thing, is in the case of like the story with Paul and Silas. Like they had a call or a burden to go someplace, and yet God's like, no, even though you got that call, that's not where you're going to go. So burden doesn't equal that is where God is leading you. And so that's why we need to like give it to him and say, all right, Lord, like it's all these things put together. But that's a component as well in there.
Yeah. And yet that burden is not an accident either. And then God will use that somehow. So it all kind of weaves together in this beautiful tapestry. Maybe the last one, and I think this is really important too, is just the idea of external affirmation. And sometimes in the church, we talk about the call, this interior call and external call. My feelings of I'm being called to a certain place, and maybe that passion or that burden and all the different factors that are fairly subjective inside of me. And then the affirmation that comes externally from, you know, a congregation, for example, or from wise, trusted leaders or different aspects. And so there's a definite affirmation that goes into that call too, that we have to be really wise to it. And it would be fairly unwise to reject wise people around us saying, no, this is not a good thing for you. And yet God uses that. He uses the body of Christ. He uses the congregation to determine what doors are open and closed sometimes. And sometimes it's important for us to listen to those aspects. Have you found that in your life to be true?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm thinking that affirmation goes both, it's throughout the entire process, but at the beginning and the end. So if it's an individual planter, right? One is like, is he being affirmed? Yes, you have the giftings to be a church planter, to be a pastor, period. Well, is the first one, but to be a church planter at the beginning, then they begin that process of maybe discerning location. And then as they're having that conversation and that, you know, discernment process at the end of it, like, oh, we think this is the location. Do you think it's a good fit or not? So it's in community, but even for a launch group or a core group from an existing church, if the leadership of the church says, hey, right now is just not a good time. We got so much on our plate as a church. We need to get through this in this next season. It would be, it could be, you know, not healthy for that, those few people to say, nope, we're going to push through. We're going to do this on our own, but no, right. Have that affirmation from that congregational leadership all along the process, all along the way. And I think the key thing there is, again, as Americans, we love this maverick, I'm going to do it on my own mentality. And as much as possible, we need to be submitting ourselves to those around us in our spiritual, you know, kind of order, chain of command, if you will, those that the Lord has placed over us, to care for us in that. Yeah. Our story, you know, at Trinity was in part the council, the spiritual leadership at Abiding Savior had affirmed us to be sent as church planters early on. And that began the process then of the where. And then as we discerned through that with, you know, in conversation, in community, brought that back to them, and they affirmed then again the location. So it was kind of this multi-step process of saying, we don't want to be doing this alone. We want to do this under the authority and the submission of those God has placed over us. So honestly, that was such a beautiful thing. It brought so much comfort and courage, knowing that it wasn't just us, but they were praying about it. They were pouring over this. They were, you know, going to the throne of our Heavenly Father with this as well. And I think that's just really beautiful and really comforting to know we're not doing it alone.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good. So in all of this, again, there's a lot in this discussion about location, and every planter is different. Every context is different. God uses different things in every story, right? And yet it seems like he's the one that opens and shuts doors, and he uses just very, very physical and natural factors to help us sense where he's leading us and directing us. And so, you know, we've talked a lot about in the past episodes of spending a lot of time in prayer and thinking through and discussion within your team or within your congregation or your small group or whatever that is, and just trusting that through prayer and through research and through thinking and seeking the Lord, he's gonna direct you, and praise God that he does that. In fact, that's the best thing about all this, is that this is his mission. This is his will. This is his desire. He wants to reach people for Christ. He wants to plant more churches. And so the desire to plant a church and to be a part of this big ministry, it is the heart of God. And so know that there's just a lot of comfort in that too, that he's going to direct you after his mission, according to his will. So that's really exciting. Well, thanks for joining us today. This is, again, episode 3 in this season. If you want to learn more about church planting within the AFLC, contact us at aflchomemissions.org. Please subscribe to our YouTube videos and share it with your friends. Talk about it in your churches. So we'd love to hear more of how these are being a benefit for you too. See you next time.